And we are live. Welcome to the NBA Strategy Show. It is Wednesday, November 24th. I am Josh Engelman. I am joined by Adam Scher. We are brought to you by Prize Picks, and we are in for a good one. 13 games on this slate. 26 of the 30 NBA teams are playing. We're going to talk about every single one that is on the slate for today. Before we do any of that, hit the like button, subscribe to the channel, and hit the notification bell so you know when everything goes live. Adam, how did your four gamers shake out?
Not great. Swapped to a lot of Denver. Denver sucked outside of Jeff Green. So, yeah, it didn't go too well.
I also definitely didn't need at first I was like, okay, cool. Julius Randle is just going to smack them, but he's not going to ultimately matter because this game is a 20-point game at the half and it's turning into a blowout. Turns out Russ gets them back into the game. Not what I wanted to happen. Needed that to be AD. And the closing lineup for the Knicks, you might as well have picked it out of a hat.
Yeah, I didn't even see what it was. But no, I was about to pull it up now as you were talking.
I got the message from Greg.
Quickly, Toppin, Burks, Noel, Fournier. Yeah.
He said, I got the message from Greg at 9:47. How many guesses until you would have landed on Quickly, Burks, Fournier, Toppin, and Noel closing lineup? I was like, yeah, probably a few.
Yeah, just weird rotations all around.
Yeah, it's, I don't know, not fun at all. But thanks to Russ for that one. All right, we got 13 games. As much as I love to, like, ramble at the beginning of one of these bad boys, and I'm going to do it for, like, another 10 seconds while I still copy ownership into my sheet, we have a ton to talk about. It's a weird slate. Some of the places where there is value, I actually need to bounce some of my questions off of you because as I was working through it on the process, Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. every day, that's what Monday through Friday means. I am in some serious trouble with a couple of these teams, and I need you to either set me straight or at least tell me that you're on the same page as me. So I'm ready to dive in if you are.
Yeah, let's go.
Here we go. Phoenix Suns taking on the Cleveland Cavaliers. And we don't have a ton going on here. Phoenix 7-point favorites in Cleveland, 209 total. It's just sort of normal stuff for the Phoenix side of it. I think Abdel Nader is questionable. That is not really something that's going to matter all that much. On the Cleveland side, things are a little bit different in that we know that Evan Mobley is still out and we have a Q tag on Darius Garland. Chetty Osman is probable. And the guy that dominates my NBA Top Shot portfolio, Lamar Stevens, is out. Let's talk about Phoenix to start. Highest owned guy in this game is Devin Booker at 7.7% on FanDuel. Is there anything that we need to specifically talk about when referencing Phoenix?
I don't think so. I think it's pretty much status quo. Booker and Paul, we know that those guys are both always solid options. They typically aren't going to stand out at their price tags on a slate this big, but they still give you a high ceiling. I think DeAndre Ayton, probably the top option for me, still only 7,400 on DraftKings, likely to give you around 32 minutes or so, well over a fantasy point per minute this year. But even that, you know, it's a 13 game slate. There's going to be plenty of center options. So it's more so, you know, a secondary play for me, although a good secondary play, I think.
This is one of those that we've talked about over the past, I don't know, every one of our shows. Yes, Booker, Paul, Bridges, Ayton. These guys are just a part of lineups, but they're on a 13-game slate. We're basically talking about priorities or guys that play 30 minutes. If you're not one of those two things, like it's going to be really hard for me to be like, well, you know, Jay Crowder could fall into 28 minutes instead of 27 or something. It's just not that kind of day today. So if you want to get to any of the main guys from Phoenix, knock yourself out. It's hard to go deeper than that.
Yeah, like when I look down the list at like McGee, Payne, Cameron Johnson, they're all like, oh, well, they're cheap and they could 6X, but it's a 13-game slate, so who really cares if they score 18 points?
Yeah, you're going to, like, at 3,300, you're going to need 30-plus.
Right.
If you're thinking, maybe Landry Shamet gets Abdel Nader's minutes, you know?
What'd you say?
I said, like, even for someone like Shamet at 3,300, if you're saying to yourself, like, all right, he gets every one of Abdel Nader's minutes and plays 23 minutes. You need well more than 30 from him for that to even matter today.
Right. If this was yesterday, there would be like 9 guys on this team that were playable.
Yep. And that is not the case today. It's close. It's closer to 0.
Yeah, exactly. And like not to say it's actually 0, but it's more, you know, you have several secondary plays and then some other guys that I just don't really see a way to get to. Whereas yesterday would be like, yeah, play any of these guys.
Yeah. On the Cleveland side, it's a little bit different. Obviously, if Darius Garland is out, we're going to open up a lot. for Cleveland. Maybe, well, maybe not a lot, but we're going to open up a lot more. The piece that I'm most interested in, I don't totally understand why the ownership is like it is, but we've got Jared Allen at 3% on FanDuel. He also has the power forward eligibility. He's 2% on DraftKings at 7,400. Lauri Markkanen is the highest owned guy in this game at about 10% on DK. We saw Jared Allen play 37 minutes in his return for being out. To me, he's the best play for Cleveland.
I think he looks really good. That was one of the big question marks last game was not, you know, not only is he limited because he missed a couple of games with his illness, but also is he impacted by, you know, Love being back, you know, Mobley obviously being out is a benefit, but he wasn't. He played 36.7 minutes. He's only 7,400 on DraftKings for the season. He's averaged 1.06 DraftKings points per minute. You could see that go up a little bit, you know, when he's not playing alongside Mobley. So I'm with you. I think he looks really good. I think Markkanen looks good as well at 5,400. They had said they were going to limit him to, I think they said like 25 to 27 minutes. So naturally he played about 31 minutes. But it's one of those situations where, you know, that was his first game back. He'd been out for a while. It makes me feel pretty confident that, assuming he plays well, he's getting at least 30 minutes today.
Yeah, I like him. I think that the ownership that he's getting makes sense. I didn't have any sort of like hot take on top of it. Allen's ownership is just the one that doesn't make sense to me, particularly on FanDuel, where you can also roster him at power forward. I think he's like at 3% ownership. He might be my favorite play on the slate. And we're getting there pretty quickly into this conversation. Clearly, Garland sort of, if he is in, fits into that same sort of starters of Phoenix mold. Can we do anything else here? It doesn't feel like it's Dean Wade or Isaac Okoro or even Rubio at this point.
Yeah, I don't see too much else. You know, Rubio's expensive enough. He's pretty risky in 30 minutes. It's just hard to see him putting up a score that you have to have. Darius Garland still played 38 and a half minutes last game, which was good to see. He left... went to the locker room at one point. He got hit in the face. I'm assuming that's why he's questionable today. But, you know, I'm still expecting him to play mid to upper 30s here. Chetty being back could potentially cut into that a little bit just with another body in the rotation. But, yeah, like you said, Chris Paul type play where I'm certainly happy with Garland. I don't think he's going to stand out as a priority for me.
Anything else here for Phoenix or Cleveland?
No.
On to... half of the most crazy day for me. I really want to get your thoughts on Indiana. We're going to start on the Lakers side. They are 1.5 point underdogs in Indiana, 219 total. LeBron, fresh as a daisy, coming back from his one game suspension. I know you have this in front of you. Do you know what the highest ownership number is for the Lakers today?
It should be like 3%.
0.8% to Anthony Davis is the highest owned guy. Now, I obviously want a little bit more of Anthony Davis than that, but do I? 11K across both sites? It's not ideal. This isn't like, I don't know how we roster the Lakers today.
They all project actively bad, like poorly for me. Not, oh, they're a little overpriced, but they're low owned, just like actively don't want them. You know, yeah, obviously at 1% ownership, you're never wrong for putting Anthony Davis or Westbrook or LeBron into a lineup, but yeah. I still think I'm going to find other contrarian pieces that I like more. Just expensive price tags here. LeBron being back cuts into their production. You do also have, we don't know exactly how Davis is physically. He was questionable yesterday with his illness. He ended up playing 34 minutes, but it did sound like the illness was an actual concern. They interviewed Frank Vogel, I think coming out of the half or It was partway through the first half, and he was pretty much just like, yeah, we're trying to have Davis run like 7 minute stints at a time and hope that at some point he starts feeling better. So it seemed like it was actually affecting him too. So not that I really need more reasons to not want to pay 11K for Davis with LeBron back, but I think that his health is a little bit of a concern here as well.
Yep. I agree. I think it'd be very easy to have zero shares of the Lakers.
I would expect to have zero.
Yeah, I would expect to get a little bit of AD on FanDuel just because he also gets that power forward and it's just monstrous at no ownership. But I ran a dummy crunch of 1,000 lineups, sorted it down. I got 8% Anthony Davis. Like, to me, that's just fine. Nothing I'm paying attention to. Not exactly a stand either. This is where it gets crazy to me. I don't know what to do with Indiana. They are favorites here in this spot. It's a massive pace up spot for the Pacers. The Lakers are the second fastest team in basketball. And some of the prices on these guys are kind of crazy. Like, we've got Brogdon on a day like today with 13 games, 22% owned across FanDuel and DraftKings. And I largely agree with it. We've got Domantas Sabonis, about 12% owned across both sites. I think he looks good. Miles Turner is 6K on DraftKings, just center eligible. I think he looks good. Caris LeVert's rates say that he should look good here, other than his fantasy points per minute, which have been down, but he's 10% owned on FanDuel at 5,700, 5,500 on DraftKings, only 5% owned. Might be my favorite option from a GPP perspective for the Pacers, but I really like Sabonis, Brogdon, Turner, and LeVert. The problem is, what minutes are these guys playing? The past three games for the Pacers are gross from a rotation perspective.
But it's two massive blowouts and the game where they all just got benched. Like, yeah. I think you can just, minutes-wise, just throw out the last three games.
So I'm projecting them like they normally would. You know, Sabonis at 35, Brogdon at 35, main starters all the way up, you know, near their 30s, Turner at 30, LeVert 28. I'm still getting to a ton of these guys. I don't really trust Rick Carlisle to not just flatten this out for more than another. Like, he could do just about anything and I would believe it because he's Rick Carlisle. But I am projecting these guys like it's a normal old, when you're playing in a competitive game, you're playing north of 30, at which point I love all four of these guys.
Yeah, I mean, even if I, like, if you go to 34 minutes on Sabonis and Brogdon instead of 35 or 36, I still think they look good. Yeah. It kind of seems like DraftKings has overcorrected on the pricing here. You know, for a while they were overpriced because in a lot of the games at the beginning of the year, you had LeVert out and then LeVert came back and Brogdon was out. And so it led to these guys having elevated salaries. Now it's kind of like they just chopped them a little bit too far. You know, we've talked about Sabonis not being quite as involved in terms of assists this year, but still in seven games with Brogdon and LeVert active, he's averaged 1.2 DraftKings points per minute with a 23% usage rate, 18% rebounding percentage, 17% assist percentage. Brogdon's at 1.07 DraftKings points per minute. LeVert has a 25% usage rate. They're just a little bit underpriced now for not only their average production, but also their ceiling. So I think Sabonis and Brogdon are the two I'm most confident in. LeVert, who is questionable at 5,500, I like that ownership. I think Turner looks good at 6K, but I'm with you. I just think it's a good spot for all of these guys. And, you know, like kind of like I was saying before, you can take a minute or so off of their projection and they're still going to look good. And yeah, there's certainly times that they're going to play more than 34 minutes.
All right. I'm glad we're on this, like, the same general page here, because this was the first like puzzle piece I hit where I was like, okay, you know, maybe this is a new thing for Rick Carlisle and these guys are going to play 30 to 32 minutes as starters at best. And all of a sudden things look a little bit worse, but
yeah, the only thing that I would point to as like some sort of a concern is Brogdon, for example, in the first half last game had a shortened rotation in the second quarter. He only played 4.5 minutes. So total in the half, he played 16 and a half minutes, but that's still what, 33 minutes. If you put that over a game, and he easily could have subbed back in earlier. So Sabonis kind of the same boat, but he also lost a little bit of playing time in the first half because he subbed out when he picked up his second foul in the first quarter. So I'm much more comfortable thinking that, you know, a month from now, we just forget those last three games even happened and you're just still getting mid-30s from these guys than that, you know, a game where the starters played poorly and got completely benched followed by two blowouts just like completely changed the way that they're running their rotations.
Agreed. Anything else here for Indiana?
No.
All right. Maybe the best game on the slate from a DFS perspective, the Charlotte Hornets, 8-point favorites in Orlando, 217.5 total. Still looking like we're not going to have PJ Washington for this one. Doubtful. On the Orlando side, no Cole Anthony, no Isaac, no Fultz, no Michael Carter-Williams, no Etuan Moore. We know those. And a Q-tag on Gary Harris, which is relatively permanent at this point. LaMelo Ball, still just 9,300 on FanDuel. Absolutely fantastic play at that price tag. 10-7 on DraftKings is a bit of a tougher sell. Miles Bridges is 8,200 on FanDuel and 7,800 on DraftKings. He is 15% owned. We've got 8% ownership going to Gordon Hayward on FanDuel. We've got 9% ownership going to Cody Martin on DraftKings at 3,400. I think that you can make a case for someone like Kelly Oubre, given his shooting guard small forward eligibility. Who knows what you want to do with Mason Plumlee? There's going to be a million centers that you could roster today. How are you feeling about Charlotte in this one?
Yeah, so with the DraftKings pricing, I think it's still pretty similar to what we've talked about recently, where it's a lot of guys that look good and not much that looks great in the context of the entire slate. I do think Miles Bridges at 7,800 is a pretty cheap price tag. You're still getting huge minutes from him. He played 41 minutes against Washington last game. He's averaged 37.2 minutes per game in the 14 games he's played with Rozier this season. 1.04 DraftKings points per minute in those games. LaMelo, you certainly can get to in tournaments. He's expensive, but he's also really good, and he's playing more minutes. He's at 1.44 DraftKings points per minute and 35 minutes per game in the games he's played with Terry Rozier active this year. So I think that as long as the ownership is relatively low, he'll look pretty good. Right now, we have him projected for 4% ownership. Cody Martin as a value option is fine. Plumlee's not playing enough minutes for me to really feel good about him, but he is cheap if you need to get there. And then, you know, you mentioned Oubre at 4,300. I think him and Rozier are both fine as well. But Oubre's nice because when he's playing well, he typically will get those closing minutes. You know, he's certainly capable of giving you a dud. Last game, he didn't play particularly well. He only played 22 minutes while Cody Martin got 28. But, you know, if it was a situation where Charlotte's playing from behind or Oubre is playing well, I think you get those final 6 minutes or so at the end. And he's the one that ends up with 28. So it's a volatile spot, which is nice at low ownership in tournaments.
Absolutely. Do we have anything else here that we need to touch on for Charlotte? I think they just look sort of pretty good across the board.
Good spot for them.
Yeah. Here's where it gets kind of crazy. The Orlando Magic. Franz Wagner on DraftKings, 33% owned. Jalen Suggs on DraftKings, 31% owned. Wendell Carter Jr., 39% owned. Mo Bamba, 21% owned. Terrence Ross, 12% owned. Wendell Carter, by the way, 41% owned, projected on FanDuel. All those guys are all pulling some ownership on FanDuel as well, but some of those prices, like 3,900 for Franz Wagner, is just comically low. I still think you can get to someone like Chuma Okeke, who's not pulling any ownership whatsoever in this game. RJ Hampton could potentially fall into some additional minutes. No ownership coming in here. Michael Mulder got the start the last time out for Orlando. Not sure that I see that one coming again here, but certainly could happen. Orlando is sneaky, like the most important team on this slate right now, and that is not a fun thing to say out loud.
Yeah, it's a really interesting spot in tournaments too, because I love like all of these guys. I think Orlando's just got a ton of good plays here. You know, you mentioned Mulder. I think basically if Gary Harris plays, Mulder is essentially not in the rotation. If Harris is out, there's a good chance Mulder starts again. But Jalen Suggs looks great at 4,800 without Cole Anthony. Wendell Carter Jr. looks amazing at 5,500. Bamba at 6,400 looks good. Wagner and Ross sub 4K. And then like you were saying, you know, even RJ Hampton, Chuma Okeke, those guys have the potential to play minutes as well. The issue for me is it's a 13-game slate, and we have such insane ownership going to these guys. It's not like they're 3K flat or anything. You know, they're for sure underpriced. And I'm not trying to say, you know, you just shouldn't play Wendell Carter Jr. or Jalen Suggs. But once guys start getting to the 5 to 6K price range, even if they're underpriced, there's always going to be alternatives you can get to that give you the same range of outcomes. For example, just from games we've talked about, do I think Wendell Carter Jr. is a better play than Caris LeVert? Yes. Do I think that he deserves to be 8 times as popular as Caris LeVert? No, I do not. So that's kind of the issue I run into. Like last slate, for example, you kind of had the same thing. It wasn't as good of a matchup because it was a spot at Milwaukee where it was really likely that they just got destroyed like they did, and minutes ended up being kind of limited. Here, it's a little bit more likely that this ends up being a competitive game. It's a good spot against a fast Charlotte team that doesn't play defense. But for example, last slate, you had Suggs at 5K. I don't remember how many games there were. It was less than 13, but I think it was like 8 or 9 or something. And he was like 35% owned or something in the large field tournaments on DraftKings. I think anybody who's watched any of our shows knows how much I love rostering Jalen Suggs. But on that slate, I think I had like 5 or 10% because it was just like, it was really, really easy to build lineups that still projected well and just had lower owned pieces than Jalen Suggs at 30 something percent and gave you a similar range of outcomes. I think it's kind of the same thing here. In cash, you absolutely should have a $4,800 Jalen Suggs. In tournament lineups where you already have some contrarian pieces, feel free to play Jalen Suggs. He looks like one of the best plays on the board. But even at an underpriced price tag, you can find alternatives here that are not 40%. It just comes back to having to realize that when you're playing tournaments and the massive field tournaments in particular, but any tournament, it comes back to not trying to be right. You're not trying to be right the most often. You're trying to make the most money when you're right. And you're going to be right very frequently if you roster Jalen Suggs or Wendell Carter Jr. or these guys here, because they are some of the best plays on the slate, but you're not going to make as much money when you're right. You're going to make more money in the games where Jalen Suggs does what he did last game, or he does what Talen Horton Tucker did last night. You know, one reason or another, he scores 20 fantasy points. And the other reason that you can, it's easier to get away from guys in this price range is, you know, not only are there more guys around them that have a similar range of outcomes, but they're at a price point where, you know, Jalen Suggs goes and gets 30. You're like, that's good for 4,800. It is not going to be the best play in that price range. Like, it's just not on a slate this size. So, yeah, long story short, I think Orlando is the best in a fantastic spot. They have a bunch of the best plays on the slate. Definitely pay attention to the ownership. Definitely, you know, mix these guys into lineups where you already have contrarian pieces. Don't be afraid to get away from them in other lineups, because even though they project the best in their price range, there's still a very good chance the field beats them out.
Yeah. For the perfect example, like I said, I ran my crunch already. I got to single digits of Wagner, Suggs, Bamba, and Carter all on FanDuel in relationship to high 20 or high double digit numbers on ownership for them. There's just so many other guys in the mid fives and sixes that I'm going to get to someone else over a 23% owned center only eligible Mo Bamba. It's just going to happen like that in GPP. So I'm really happy with the way that I have this set up, but on the surface, from a points per dollar perspective, this is probably the best team on the slate. And I don't think it's really close.
Yeah. And so people are talking about Suggs versus Hampton in chat. So this is one, if you think Hampton is a better play than Suggs just on its face, you're wrong. But I do think that at 31% to 1% ownership, that is a perfect example of a potential pivot away from Suggs. It's a $100 difference. If this game's competitive, you probably are getting 30 to 34 minutes from Suggs. You're probably getting like 24 from Hampton, and Suggs most likely is beating Hampton. But if this game is a blowout, if Suggs plays poorly and Hampton plays well, there's paths, you know, to Hampton getting more minutes in game flows or situations where Suggs is getting less. So that's, you know, kind of the perfect example. I think that, you know, like in cash, you absolutely should be playing Jalen Suggs ahead of RJ Hampton. If you have a lineup where you just need the best play at that price point, it's Jalen Suggs. But you're getting basically a 30-to-1 discount in terms of ownership on RJ Hampton.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Like, Hampton showed up in my Sims. I gave him 26 minutes. I gave Suggs 30. Hampton is like half of the Sim exposure as Suggs, which I think makes sense. You know, if you told me that if Suggs is 31, you know, maybe Hampton should be like somewhere in the 10 range.
Right.
I don't necessarily think I want 10% owned RJ Hampton either, but that's sort of the ratio that I think it should be. 31-to-1 is certainly not what I think it should be. But cash games, Franz Wagner, Suggs, probably Wendell Carter Jr. Three of those guys are going to be pretty close to the top of the list from a DraftKings perspective. Yeah. The fact that he's just center ends up making it a little difficult, but yeah, not that he's not a good player or anything, but it's going to be hard to take. Like, you're clearly taking Carter before Bamba.
Yeah, because of the power forward, yeah.
And $900 more, or less dollars, I guess, in that case.
Yeah, so without Cole Anthony on the floor this year, Suggs is at 0.82 DraftKings points per minute. But this is the same thing we've said with Suggs before. He's at 0.82 DraftKings points per minute with a 39.6% true shooting percentage. That basically tells you that he cannot be worse than that per minute. It can't really get worse. He has a 27% usage rate, 22% assist percentage. Terrence Ross has a 20.9% usage rate. RJ Hampton's at 0.92 DraftKings points per minute. Bamba's at 1.1. Carter's at 1.09. Franz Wagner has been absolutely awful. He has a 29.8% true shooting percentage. So I guess you can get worse than Suggs. But the point being, the minutes are there. There's more opportunities to go around without Cole Anthony. This is very clearly a fantastic spot.
Number three team in pace against the number nine team in pace as well. So that should help out a little bit from a speed perspective. Anything else here, Charlotte or Orlando?
I didn't even realize Orlando was playing that fast. I knew Charlotte was.
Yeah. I think you're good here.
Yeah. I guess grouping could kind of be important here, but I think it's tough. I mean, like, based on the rotations we've seen, it kind of seems like maybe, so the closing lineup probably has, in a competitive game, the closing lineup probably has what? Suggs, Bamba, Carter, Wagner, and then one of Ross, Hampton, Okiki.
Sounds right.
Or maybe like two of Wagner, Ross, Hampton, Okiki. Yeah, I think I would probably just set like a max two of Wagner, Ross, Hampton, Okiki. Maybe max one of Ross, Hampton, Okiki.
Okay. Schedule for the rest of the day. Coming up immediately after this, 11 a.m. NFL Strategy Show Thanksgiving Ownership Edition. We've got the Jock Market NBA show at 1 p.m. We've got the NHL strategy show at 1:45, Yahoo NFL show at 3, Jock Market NFL show at 3:30, No House Advantage NFL show at 4. Adam will be back for the deeper dive at 4:45. And then we close it out with Live Before Lock NBA edition at 6 p.m. Plus, NBA ownership rankings are free today, as are NHL ownership projections. We're on to game number 4, the Brooklyn Nets, 1-point favorites in Boston, 216 total. I want to hit you with a question right now before you ever get a chance to look at anything. Do you know what Blake Griffin is shooting from 3 this season?
43%.
19%. He has missed 22 straight threes. That's not good. 22 straight threes, played 9 minutes their last time out. Let's talk about Brooklyn, though. This one's going to be pretty easy. Highest owned guy in this game is $5,300 center-eligible LaMarcus Aldridge on DK at 8%. Good luck telling me how many minutes this dude's going to play, because I don't have a feel for it. That's for sure. After that, nobody else is higher than 5. I don't know how you play Harden and Durant today at 11-7 and 11-2. I don't even really like them all that much on FanDuel at 10-2 and 10-3. Brooklyn is like largely off the board for me.
Yeah, I think that's typically been the case for me.
Yeah,
it's just when Harden and Durant are in, it's really difficult to get to them. It's the same situation as with the Lakers. You know, it's not that they're not obviously great players with really high ceilings, but you're paying for their ceiling and they're cutting into each other's production. So it's pretty difficult to get there when you have so many other pay-up options. Aldridge at 5,300 is okay. He started last game, or started the second half last game rather, over Blake Griffin. Don't know if that ends up being a thing going forward or not, but certainly something to keep an eye on, because he's been a very good per minute fantasy producer this year. If you get him in a situation where he can play more minutes, he looks really good. I mean, he played 34 and a half last game, so definitely keep an eye on the starting lineup there. But if he doesn't start, it's hard to think he's playing more than, you know, 24 to 26. Patty Mills looks okay, but 13 game slate, plenty of alternatives. So not a whole lot that stands out to me here.
You're not touching Harden and Durant at those price tags, right? Not, at least not on purpose.
Yeah, not, I mean, if I end up with a couple percent, it wouldn't be shocking, but like, I think I would probably get to them before I got to the Lakers guys, but
same.
I kind of doubt that I get to any of it.
Makes sense. Boston side. We've got Q tags on Jaylen Brown and Josh Richardson. Marcus Smart should be available. Highest owned guy in this game on FanDuel or DK is Marcus Smart at 6%. Most interesting guy to me here is probably Robert Williams for 5,600 on DraftKings, projected for 3% ownership right away. That's another one in that like Mo Bamba, Wendell Carter area where those guys are getting massive ownership in the same price tag, but Robert Williams has 3% ownership. I know Robert Williams hasn't been what we want him to be this year. He's still a fantasy point per minute guy playing, you know, 28 minutes or so. He's going to fall into some blocks at some point in time. If he's 1/10 the ownership of those guys, he becomes more interesting in GPPs. But once again, there are no priorities to me for Boston.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much where I'm at. I'm with you on Robert Williams. 5,600 is getting pretty cheap. Horford does certainly cut into his production, but that's still just there's a lot of ceiling there, I guess, is how I view it. Same can be said for $5,400 Marcus Smart. He's not going to consistently come through, but he is likely to play big minutes. There's plenty of things for him to do defensively here to stay on the floor as well. So I think this is kind of a situation where nothing stands out as a priority, but getting to some of these cheaper pieces like Williams and Smart, as long as they're going to be relatively low owned, makes sense in tournaments. Also, based on chat, I'm not buying that 30-1 Suggs versus Hampton ownership. I think it might be a lot closer based on game logs.
Maybe. Do we get to anything here if Jaylen Brown happens to be out?
Yeah. Schroeder would look pretty good at 6,400. Tatum would obviously look better at 10-1. Everybody would look better. But I think the guys that go from like mildly appealing, but not really, to actually good would be Schroeder and Tatum.
Who the hell is at my front door right now? Ringing my doorbell. That better be a male guy. Yep, it is. I don't know what we just got delivered, but I hope it's for me. Anything else here, Brooklyn or Boston?
Nope.
All righty, we're on to the Chicago Bulls. 8.5-point favorites in Houston, 212 total. Really excited to talk about Houston. Not. There is some ownership coming in here on FanDuel, and it is heavy. 19% to DeMar DeRozan, where he is 8,600, shooting guard, small forward eligible. DeMar DeRozan is 9,200 on DraftKings, just power forward eligible. Be ready for that. I don't really think that you're getting to anything from Chicago on the DK side. Zach LaVine is only 8K. He's 16% owned. Alex Caruso is 5,400. He's 13% owned. Now, we do have to say Caruso is questionable. Vooch is questionable. I have them both in for right now. Don't think Vooch is playing enough minutes for it to matter. And he's 8,800 on DraftKings, so you definitely don't want him. But I like the four main guys on Chicago for DeRozan, Ball, LaVine, and Caruso. On DraftKings, it's probably not all that much.
Yeah, it's pretty tough. Like, I think they're still playable in tournaments just because Houston's really bad. They play really fast. You can get a lot of fantasy points in a hurry, but they're priced more or less for Vooch to be out. Not to say that like guys like LaVine and DeRozan, it's not that they can't exceed a 9K or a $9,200 salary, even with Vooch in. You know, they're still, we know Vooch's usage rate this year was lower than we expected it to be. LaVine and DeRozan were still doing most of the heavy lifting. They can still do well here, but if Vooch is in, it certainly makes them look worse than they would if he's out.
Yeah. This is a FanDuel slate. That's for sure. I don't have anything else to talk about for Chicago. I hit on my or my stuff.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it for me. It's just tournament shots on LaVine, DeRozan, Ball, Caruso, just based on the fact that they're playing a really bad Houston team that allows a ton of possession.
On Houston, the only thing we're worried about now is Kevin Porter Jr. is questionable. And from what I saw from Kevin Porter yesterday, he had a quote saying that he was expecting to play today. Christian Wood is 6,700. Power forward center eligible on FanDuel. He's the second highest owned guy here outside of, I don't understand this one, but we've got Şengün at 29% ownership on FanDuel today. I don't get it. So maybe I'm missing something. Kevin Porter's pulling a little bit of ownership on FanDuel at 5,600. Jayshon Tate's pulling a little bit on DraftKings at 4,900. Jalen Green is not pulling much at 5,200 on FanDuel, getting a little bit at 4,500. There's a lot to like for Houston, but this team sucks.
Yeah, they're always one of like the most difficult teams for me to talk about, because in competitive games I love these prices. In non-competitive games, yeah, these guys are way overpriced, and this team is really bad.
80% of their games are non-competitive, which ends up being so problematic,
right? And so it makes it so you can't trust these guys, but they are at home. They're still 9-point dogs, but if they hang in this game, you're likely to get mid-30s from a $7,400 Christian Wood. You're likely to get low to mid-30s from a $5,900 Porter. And it also, if the game's competitive, it means that at least one of these guys is probably playing well. So, yeah, tournaments, as long as the ownership is relatively low, I don't mind going there. It's still, you know, certainly scary. But we have 13% ownership going to Tate right now on DraftKings. That's the highest on the team. Christian Wood only getting 6%. Kevin Porter Jr. getting 3%. Jalen Green getting 7%. Certainly don't mind taking shots on those guys. Jalen Green is someone that falls into the pivot off of Jalen Suggs category.
Yeah.
They're kind of similar in that they're both talented. They both have been absolutely awful this year. But, you know, it's Suggs is the one that I would certainly rather have if I'm just getting like a 50-50 proposition. But in tournaments, if you need a lower owned pivot, Jalen Green gives you a similar range of outcomes, I think.
I don't know what's causing this, but I think we're on the same page. $4,300 Şengün on FanDuel is not going to be 29% owned today.
No.
Unless like Christian Wood gets ruled out. there's just no way that that's happening. So assume that that number comes down. And if he is 29% owned today, my recommendation to you is to not have a single share. Christian Wood, to me, the best play in this one, though, at 6,700 on FanDuel, that is just a not correct price tag for what his ceiling can be. Anything else for Chicago or Houston?
Someone asked why Troy Brown Jr. played 30 minutes last game. Caruso was out, Vooch was out, and the game was a massive blowout.
Yeah, he will likely play precisely 0 minutes today, depending on how that shakes out again. Yeah. All right, Toronto, 4-point dogs in Memphis, 218 total. On the Toronto side, Q tags on Ananobi, Precious Achiuwa. I have them both in for right now just for comparison's sake. On the Memphis side, we've got a Q tag on Dylan Brooks, still no D'Anthony Melton. Toronto's got two guys at 13.4% ownership. One of them is Scottie Barnes on FanDuel. I agree with it. The other is Fred VanVleet on DraftKings. I agree with it. But for just $600 more on VanVleet, he's 3% owned on FanDuel. So I like Fred VanVleet on FanDuel as a GPP play. I actually think Fred VanVleet gets better as more guys are available for Toronto. He doesn't have to do as much individually, and I think the spacing ends up being a little bit better. If Anunoby is in, it's probably not all that interesting. I don't know if he still has that like 38, 39 minute ceiling on a day like today. Trent Siakam, like a lot of this looks like Phoenix, but I think there's little bits of prices that are slightly better.
Yeah, that's how I view it as well. Like you can still count on guys like Van Vliet to play big minutes. He's coming off a game where he played 39. You got 34 from Siakam. They're just reasonably priced. You know, I think if Anunoby is back, that is a relatively high usage guy, but we also expect his usage to go down with, you know, from where it was earlier in the year, now that Siakam's back. So there's a little bit more usage for guys like Siakam and Barnes if Anunoby is out. But even if he's back, I think Siakam looks fine. I think Barnes looks fine. Van Vliet probably the easiest to get to at 7,800 just because you can count on him to play so many minutes.
Yeah, I gave him 38. That seems just the way that I need to project him moving forward. And then that Barnes price for 6,500 on FanDuel seems all right to me. They're going to run an ultra concentrated rotation. I assume Chris Boucher is back out of the rotation once again. Banton and Svi aren't going to play all that much. None of it really matters. You're playing the guys that are going to play 30 plus minutes here. For Memphis, though, highest owned guy in this game is $6,300 Jaren Jackson. He's got power forward center eligibility. Makes sense to me. We've got Brandon Clark at 9% ownership. I don't want to touch that. Nobody else is higher than 9% ownership on either side. So if you want some jaw, I think it makes some sense. I think Jaren Jackson on DraftKings, though, is pretty clearly the best option you'll find in this game.
Yeah, I think that sounds about right to me. Also, keep an eye on Dylan Brooks' status. He is listed as questionable. He was doubtful last game and then suddenly became a game-time decision before being ruled out. I don't know if that was just sketchy reporting. I don't know if that means he was really close to coming back. But definitely keep an eye there, because not only does it affect minutes for some of these guys, you know, like Kyle Anderson, but it also affects usage for guys like Desmond Bane, who's coming off of another monster game where he had 28 actual points. He has been like a low 20s usage guy this year without Dylan Brooks, and then a 16 to 17% usage guy with Brooks. John Morant goes from a 32 to 33% usage rate down to about 28%. You know, like we've talked about before, Dylan Brooks does a lot of things really well. Decision-making on when he should be shooting the basketball is not one of them, and it impacts everyone else on the team. So he does play a role here, just as far as, you know, how much I like these Memphis guys. But assuming for now that he's out, since he did miss the last couple of games, it would make Jackson look really good at 6,300. It would make Morant look good in tournaments at 9,800. Bane would look solid at 5,500. I'm with you. Brandon Clark at 3,500 looks okay as well.
Everything will come down to the Brooks news. I actually have him in for right now, and that makes most of Memphis be basically not all that interesting. Although, like, again, the Jaren Jackson 6,300 MPE is just going to look, well, it's going to look always good to you and I, but it looks particularly good in the GPP.
Yeah, I mean, the fact he played 34 minutes last game is good, because we had, for a lot of the season, we'd kind of been seeing that even when he was able to avoid foul trouble, he was playing like 30 minutes. So you still can't project 34 minutes, but it's nice to see that it's at least something they're willing to do.
Anything else here?
Nope.
All right, back to the Detroit Pistons. They are 14 point underdogs in Milwaukee. This one should be a blast. We did end up getting the start for Luka Garza yesterday. That went about as well as you would have expected it to. Same sort of situation for the Pistons tonight. No Killian Hayes, no Isaiah Stewart again, no Kelly Olynyk as per usual. So we're getting that same rotation. Milwaukee's the same as well. No Brook Lopez, no Dante DiVincenzo, no Semi Ojeleye. A lot of ownership coming into the Pistons on two particular spots. Sadiq Bey on FanDuel at 5,700. I agree with it. Corey Joseph across both sites, but in particular, 4,100 on FanDuel, 28% owned. He was my number one contender. We're going to get more value as the day goes on, and it will make someone like Corey Joseph look a little bit less interesting. But by all accounts, he's going to be playing 32, 34 minutes and look good. I like both of those guys on FanDuel. I think you can still go to Corey Joseph on DraftKings at 4,400, but I don't really see a ton that I love for Detroit on DK.
Yeah, I mean, same for me. It's obviously difficult to love much here. They're 13-point dogs at Milwaukee. That's something that is certainly concerning as well, because sort of like we saw with Orlando last game, this could just be a situation where, you know, yeah, you can project this all that you want, but it could just be over by halftime. I think Corey Joseph at 4,400 looks fine. If the game's competitive, he's likely to play 30-plus minutes. If it's not, he's probably not getting garbage time. Amadou Diallo is 3,300. He only played 15 minutes yesterday. He is someone that I think would be likely to play a little bit more if either the game blows out or if he's playing well. You know, we did see 30 minutes from Frank Jackson yesterday. Yeah. I think that the lineup is kind of just going to fluctuate based on how the game's going, both in terms of score and hot hand who's playing well. So setting a group so that, you know, probably not more than one of like Diallo, Frank Jackson together, probably don't want more than one of Lyles or Garza together.
I think Lyles starts here, by the way. I don't think you could start Luka Garza against Milwaukee.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think they start either Lyles or they just go to Bay. Or Bay / Grant.
Yeah. If they put Luka Garza out there, Giannis is going to just eviscerate him in like three possessions, and Garza is just going to be parking his ass on the bench with two fouls one way or the other.
Right. I mean, that's kind of the case anyway, but.
Sure.
I get your point. I'd be kind of surprised if Garza starts here.
It just, of all the spots, like, this isn't the one where you are like, hey, man, good luck. You know how you have no defensive talent whatsoever? Here's Giannis.
Right. Yeah, so if Lyle starts, you know, he's going to look like a decent value, risky, but decent value at 3,200. He's around the 0.8 fantasy point per minute guy. He'll probably play as long as he's not fouling. So, yeah, I think it's just sort of setting rules. Definitely not more than one of Lyle's Garza. Probably not more than one of, like, Diallo, Frank Jackson, Josh Jackson. Cunningham, Grant, Bay, they all look fine. You know, they're certainly, at least to some extent, dependent on this game being relatively close. Cunningham in a blowout still probably plays around 30 minutes if he can stay out of foul trouble. But, you know, in competitive games, we know he can get 36 plus.
Does Lyles matter on a day like today?
I mean, assuming he starts, obviously. That if he starts and plays well and plays 30 minutes, you probably would like to have him. I don't think that's a particularly likely thing that happens, though.
Okay. Him having the power forward is why I was asking. If he was just center, it's like, okay, he's just add him to the list of guys there. But from a value perspective, I think he's an interesting piece to pay attention to, especially if he stays at like 3.5% owned.
Yeah, he's one of those guys where if he's low owned, I'm more than happy to be over the field. If you start getting, you know, that Orlando Magic type ownership where everyone just decides Trey Lyles can't fail, then I'll gladly find some other pieces to get to.
All right. On the Milwaukee side, Bobby Portis is the most popular piece in this game. 21% owned at FanDuel at 6,500. I mean, look, I like Bobby Portis today. That seems like a pretty large number, but I guess I get it. Giannis is super expensive. I'll never freak out if I have him, but today doesn't, like, he's going to need to do a lot of work in a limited amount of time. Could he play 26 minutes and go for 60? Yep. He's Giannis, but this one's scary. Drew Middleton, meh. And it's mostly just a little bit of very, very Phoenix-y once again.
Yeah.
With a pay-up guy.
Yeah, I mean, Giannis looks great. Like, he should torch this team. Typically, you're not that concerned about the players in the on the winning side of a blowout because they're producing at a higher rate. But still, you know, 12-2 is expensive. It can be tough for Giannis, even in 28 minutes, no matter how well he's playing, to really put up a score that you have to have there. So Giannis looks good if you can get to him, but definitely want to pay attention to the ownership as well. Drew Holiday, Bobby Portis, good spot for both of them. You know, Milwaukee should score a lot of fantasy points in a hurry. It's just a matter of how many minutes these guys end up being on the floor.
We'll talk about it a little bit more for Utah and Oklahoma City. I touched on it in the process show, but Utah, Oklahoma City, and this game in particular strike me as the type of places where you get the non-beneficial blowouts, where Milwaukee might score 100 real points. The problem might just be that Detroit gets held to 72, and you can have an average performance offensively and the game is still not competitive. Same situation for Utah and Oklahoma City. It might just be because Oklahoma City scores 68 real points and they get absolutely bludgeoned. So those are the ones that usually scare me. When the team's defense can just completely eviscerate the other team, that blowout becomes more problematic.
Yeah, that's a fair point for sure. Like, it's not necessarily, oh, this game's really fast paced, so Milwaukee just scored 120 points in the first three quarters and it's over. It could just be, oh, the Pistons have 28 points at halftime.
Right. And then the blowout takes a very different light because you didn't get those offensive stats and Giannis is going to be showered up and back on the bench before the fourth quarter ends.
Kind of like what happened against Orlando.
Exactly. All right. Anything else here?
Nope.
All right, let's talk a little bit about the presenting sponsor of this show. That would be Prize Picks. You're running daily prop-based contest. Let's start here with the deal, because this is the best part. Use the promo code AWESOMO to get a $100 first match deposit bonus, which means if you put in $100, they're going to match with $100. You don't have to worry about sharks or optimizers or mass entries. You can just make a five-player lineup that can net up to 10 times your entry fees. You can use multiple sports, so make a cross-sport entry. Download the app in the App Store or Google Play, or just go to prizepicks.com. We have free player prop tools at awesomeo.com that can help you do all of these things. I'm going to hit Adam with two quick fantasy score props coming out of this Milwaukee game. Might be a little scary, but I think we're going to be okay. Let's say this. Over under Giannis Antetokounmpo, 52.5 fantasy points.
Over.
Yeah, I have that by 4.5 right now. I will happily take that over. This one, a little bit scarier, but I think that we can comfortably go to it. How do you feel about your boy, Cade Cunningham, over under 31 fantasy points?
I hate that guy right now, but over, not with a ton of confidence, but over.
Yeah. I got it at 36, so I will also go over. There are a couple lines here just from a fantasy points perspective. Now, you could look at individual props if you want to. We could hit up something like, you know, we'll go back to where's Giannis hiding? Now he's not even on there. We can go to someone like Franz Wagner. There's somebody that's pretty popular on this slate because of his DraftKings price. Over under 10.5 real points. That makes it look a little bit different. Do I have that? Yes, I got him at 12. That's neither here nor there. But you don't have to just take fantasy point scores. You could take points props, rebounds props, assist props, even three-pointers made across a wealth of sports. NBA, I'm going to read it off the top. NBA, NFL, college football, college basketball, NHL. I don't even know what this sport is. Soccer, tennis, women's college basketball, Counter-Strike. They've got it all here at Prize Picks. You should go check it out. Use that promo code AWESOMO. We got six more games to go now. I think I'm right. Yeah. Miami at Minnesota. The Heat are 2-point favorites, 213 total. We thought we were going to get some weird stuff out of Miami yesterday, and it got pretty tame. Markieff Morris still doubtful. So on the Miami side, highest owned guy is Bam Adebayo, 8K on FanDuel. He's 10% owned. Nobody else is really getting any ownership. I don't get the sense I'm going to have a lot of Miami today.
Yeah, same here, assuming that everyone's in. We did have Bam questionable yesterday. If he were to sit, obviously that changes a lot of things, but assuming he's in, you know, 8400 for Bam looks looks okay, but there's plenty of centers that I like today. 10k for Butler is becoming pretty tough to pay for. Hero certainly has a ceiling at 7500, but difficult to prioritize that. Sort of Phoenix Suns type of spot for Miami, I think.
Yeah, Minnesota a little bit different. We've got Anthony Edwards at 7,400 on DraftKings, 15% owned. I think he's pretty clearly the best option for Minnesota on the DraftKings side, especially with the shooting guard small forward eligibility. D'Angelo Russell, I think, looks pretty good as well at 7,300. Not really much else to me. I mean, clearly, anytime you want to get to Karl Anthony Towns, it's fine. But Edwards and Russell look like the best two options for me.
Yeah, that's about where I'm usually at. Russell's still pretty cheap at 7,300. It's not a good matchup here. You know, Miami's a good defensive team. They don't play fast, but you're still just getting big minutes from D'Angelo Russell in competitive games. He's about a 1.05 to 1.1 DraftKings point per minute guy, and he's only 7,300. So that looks pretty good. Towns, you know, he's a little bit more likely to disappear than other players of his skill level because of Russell and Edwards, but he's only 9,400. He plays big minutes. He looks good. And then Anthony Edwards, we've seen be a little bit disappointing recently. The usage rate definitely dropping pretty quickly in the games, you know, since D'Angelo Russell came back, but you're still talking about around the 28% usage rate for Edwards in those games. Still gives you a high ceiling. Still plays a ton of minutes. So I think it's Towns and Russell at the top for me, followed by Edwards. And then you can also, you know, kind of look to Pat Beverly or Jared Vanderbilt as secondary options too.
I'm really intrigued to figure out what Anthony Edwards is going to become, because he's clearly got the like personality to be a star in this league. I'm just really curious to see where his actual offensive skills end up, because he is so incredibly inefficient.
Yeah. I'm curious too. I think Lofty and I were talking about that in regards to Top Shot the other day. Like, if because of his personality, if Anthony Edwards ends up being like remotely good in the NBA, he's going to be a superstar household name type guy just because of his personality. He doesn't have to be like the best player in the league and then he'll be treated like it.
Yeah. If he becomes like Devin Booker,
right,
that's gigantic. Like he only needs to get to like top 25 ish for people to think that he's top 10. It's like Russell Westbrook now. Washington at the New Orleans Pelicans, 3.5 point favorites for Adams Wizards, 208.5 total. Highest owned guy in this game is Bradley Beal at 8.5% on FanDuel. I can pretty much just cross off Washington as any sort of priorities anywhere. Davis Bertans is back.
Yeah. So the center position is typically the most appealing in tournaments for me. We know that we're going to get 48 minutes in general between Gafford and Harrell. Normally, it ends up being like 22 minutes for Gafford, 26 for Harrell. Harrell's certainly capable of just putting up a monster game. We saw it last time out. He's 6,500 here, shouldn't get much ownership. Gafford, 4,200, has a ceiling as well. But there's obviously an opportunity cost for those guys as well. There's a reason that they're low owned. So not upset if I get to a little bit of them, but certainly not priorities. Same can be said for $9,300 Bradley Beal. He has, you know, 40, 50 real point games in his range of outcomes. They're not going to happen very often. Dinwiddie cuts into his production a bit as well. So nothing that I'm really in love with from the Washington side.
Yeah. Bradley Beal is 8,500 on FanDuel. And I'm just like, yeah, he's an all right play. There are times in the past where it's just like, oh, cool. I'm going to have all Bradley Beal.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I think the salary for him is getting to a point where at low ownership, I don't mind him in tournaments. I think like last slate, for example, he was 4% owned. I had like 10% just because we're starting to get to where he can really light that up. Like he can go for 50 plus fantasy points, but on a slate this big, and because, you know, 50 plus isn't really remotely close to his medium projection, it's still just difficult to prioritize him.
Pelican side's looking a little bit different here. We've got Josh Hart and Joe Val on FanDuel, about 15% owned, 5,700 and 8K respectively. I completely agree with that. Brandon Ingram is underpriced, at least a little bit, 7,700 across both sites. You get the shooting guard, small forward eligibility on DK. That's where he is actually the highest owned guy from the Pels. That's probably where you're drawing the line. I don't know if we're really going to be trying to get to much else here from the Pelicans. We saw Kira Lewis play 32 minutes in the last timeout. Jackson Hayes parked his ass on the bench. They went to Willie Hernan Gomez. I don't know what that's going to mean. I don't think it matters at all because it's not like either one of those guys are going to unseat Joval. So Ingram, Hart, Joval, we're waiting on the news of Devontae Graham in or out. That probably matters, but I don't know how much it matters.
Yeah, if Graham's out, it matters in the sense that somebody like Kyra Lewis or Tomas Satoransky could end up like breaking the slate at minimum salary. It doesn't make it particularly likely that that happens, but it's at least something that you have to consider. If Graham is in, you can pretty much ignore those guys. The backup center spot, like you said, it's kind of interesting in that Hernan Gomez is a good per minute guy, but Joval was in massive foul trouble in that game too. If he's able to avoid foul trouble here, you're talking about whoever the backup center is playing like 13 or 14 minutes. So it doesn't really matter. Joval himself, I think, looks pretty good at 8,900. He's not as strong an option with Brandon Ingram, but he's still around 1.25 fantasy points per minute this year. If he's able to avoid foul trouble, he's still playing mid 30s in minutes and his price tag is slowly coming back down. So I think he looks pretty good, and I'm with you on Ingram being a little bit underpriced as well. He's likely to play 37, 38 minutes here, assuming this game's competitive. It's not a very good spot. You know, Washington's been good defensively. They don't play at a fast pace, but he's got a 30-plus percent usage rate playing huge minutes at 7,700. And he also has guard forward eligibility on DraftKings.
Yeah, that eligibility is massive on DK. Hasn't been good this year, and I assume we'll snap out of it at some point. But
yeah. Josh Hart's not the worst play at 5,900 either. Just playing a lot of minutes, doing a lot of things well on the floor. And he's not a high usage guy, so it doesn't really matter that he's playing with a bunch of other high usage guys. He's just going to get some rebounds. He's going to get some assists. He'll score at times. So his salary is slowly creeping up. I wouldn't say he's a priority, but still a path to success for him.
This one should be pretty easy. Utah, 12.5 point favorites at Oklahoma City, 210 total. Everybody's in for Utah. I know that you and I are going to say that Donovan Mitchell is the best play you'll find for Utah. After that, this is back into the Suns vibe. I cannot recommend an individual play for the Jazz. Rudy Gobert would be second. These guys don't look all that appealing, and it would blow my mind if this game is competitive. Utah is arguably the best team in the league from a regular season standpoint. And Oklahoma City is in at least a pretty decent battle for worst team in the league, especially on days when Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is not going to be a part of the team. So Mitchell, sure, probably my favorite play here, but this one's tough.
Yeah, Mitchell looks fine. Gobert looks fine. His salary has jumped back up to 8,700 on DraftKings, which is why I do think he's a little bit behind Mitchell, that combined with the positional eligibility. But yeah, I mean, outside of that, it's, you're not wrong with like any of these Utah guys. They're all fine at low ownership, but there's nothing that really stands out. Rudy Gay is still 3,300 playing like 18 minutes. Other slates that would be really useful here, it's probably not. Jordan Clarkson should absolutely torch the second unit, but probably also only needs to play like 22 minutes.
To be fair, Jordan Clarkson should probably eviscerate their first unit. So
also true.
They don't. The second unit of the Oklahoma City Thunder is like whatever the hell the main unit is for their G League affiliate.
Right.
Okay. No Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is the key piece here. We saw Jeremiah Robinson-Earl and Derek Favors start alongside each other in this last one. Josh Giddey is 37% owned on FanDuel at 6K, just shooting guard eligible. I like Josh Giddey a lot, and he's one of my top 10 plays. That is a very sizable number, although he's a guy that is a legitimate triple-double threat. Dort, Giddey, and Bazley are all 10 to 15% owned on DraftKings. I think Robinson-Earl is probably getting a little underrepresented at no ownership at 4,300 power forward center eligible. And then kudos to you if you think that you can figure out who's actually going to play in this game. Dort, Giddey, and Bazley, I gave 30-plus minutes. No one else has that many minutes. Robinson-Earl is the only other guy. I don't know how you pick anybody else from Oklahoma City today.
Yeah, I don't really know. Like, I'm not even confident the starting lineup's the same with Favors and Robinson-Earl. If it is, I mean, Robinson-Earl played 32 minutes last game. He's not a great fantasy producer, but that's a lot of minutes for him. He is up to 4,300 on DraftKings, though. But I think Giddey, Bazley, Dort are the guys that you can feel confident in their minutes. You can't really feel confident in their production. This is a pretty awful spot. But, you know, Giddey, like you said, he does have triple-double upside. He is relatively inexpensive and only about 15% owned on DraftKings. He looks fine. Nowhere near as good a play tonight as he was last game, I don't think. You know, his salary's gone up 10% on DraftKings. Now he's facing Utah, but does get more assist opportunities without Gilgeous-Alexander. He already leads the team in assist percentage anyway. There's, you know, potentially more usage as well. Ultimately, not a whole lot that I'm prioritizing here, but Giddey, Dort, Bazley would be the first three I get to and possibly the only three that I get to.
I'm assuming Favors is starting again in this spot at center. Otherwise, I think things are going to be a bit of a problem here against Gobert.
Bigger question to me is it Robinson Earl or is it, you know, Kenrich Williams?
Yeah.
I guess it also doesn't really matter, though, because you're talking about Royce O'Neal.
Also true. Just a weird one. 37% for Giddey on FanDuel is probably a little too much. Although
it's Jalen Suggs-esque. Like, it makes a lot of sense. I understand why the ownership is there. If the
cash games,
not,
thumbs up.
Yeah. If the ownership were not there, you would be playing a lot of him because he should be popular. But there's a lot of ways this can still go wrong. Or at least even if it doesn't go wrong, that he doesn't put up a score that you have to have in terms of raw points.
Particularly in those situations where this game finishes 107 to 67. Right. It's just like, okay, well, unless Giddey played all 48 minutes, he didn't accumulate nearly enough of what you need. Anything else here?
No.
Not too many more times to give you this promo code, but if you like stuffing, you're in luck. You get to type those letters into our promo code box because you can get an NFL Express weekly pass for just $1 using that promo code stuffing. You get access to our NFL player rankings, ownership rankings, everything we have to offer for showdown and single game contests, which is pretty important heading into Thanksgiving tomorrow, where there are a lot of showdown contests and probably even more importantly on this coming Sunday as well when you have a shorter slate. You get access to all of our premium tools and data for in-season fantasy football and tiers contests on DK. This is a $1 coupon code. Costs you $1 for our NFL Express Pass. Valid only through Friday, so it goes away when Black Friday ends. Stop guessing and start winning. Join Osmo Plus today. Adam, we've got three games to go here before we get out of here. Atlanta, a 4-point favorite in San Antonio, 220 total. Everybody is available for Atlanta that needs to be available. We still have no Hunter and Okongwu, but we know that. No real ownership coming in, but I like these guys a little bit more on FanDuel just because of the paced up nature against San Antonio. It's just a lot of like 6-7% owned guys. On DK, I agree with it. But someone like Kevin Herter or Bogdan Bogdanovic on FanDuel, 4,800, low ownership. They're the type of guys that I'm willing to take a pivot and get a little bit over the field on.
Yeah, and I think that there's you can do that on DraftKings as well. I mean, 4,600 for Herter looks fine. 4,700 for Bogdan looks fine from a ceiling standpoint, but in particular the front court, Capella and Collins are still reasonably priced. Capella's in that DeAndre Ayton, Jared Allen price range, so not like you're, you know, just jamming him into lineups, but he does give you a high ceiling here. He's likely to play, you know, low to mid 30s. Same goes for Collins at 7,200. So this is just another team where I think, you know, I like them in tournaments because they give you high ceilings at low ownership, but there's not one individual guy that I'm going to point to and say like, yeah, this is a core piece for me today.
I don't have anything else to add to that. So let's switch it over to the San Antonio side where we get one of my favorite plays. And I don't know why he's not getting more ownership, but I'm excited to talk about it. The San Antonio team's got everybody in, I believe. I don't remember seeing any news. Now I'm double checking myself because I don't trust it. Q tag on Doug McDermott. I knew there was something that was hanging in my head. Derek White is basically 15% owned across FanDuel and DraftKings. We've got Murray and Johnson around 8%. And then we've got my favorite play for today from San Antonio. That would be Jakob Poeltl. He is 5,800 on FanDuel, 5,700 on DraftKings, where he's only 9% owned. Jakob Poeltl came back, played 15 minutes in their first game, got a couple more days off, and then found himself playing 31 minutes in their last game, which means Jakob Poeltl can play north of 30 minutes again. He's not really working on his conditioning. I gave him 32. He can probably play 33 or 34 in a competitive game. Dude's underpriced for where he's at right now, and the ownership doesn't show it.
Yeah, without a doubt. I think that ownership comes up throughout the day, but I don't really care. He's 5,700. He's over a fantasy point per minute guy. Atlanta is, as a team, is not good defensively. I'm not, you know, talking about Clint Capella individually, but they've been bad overall this year. It's just a good point scoring environment. 5,700 is a complete mispricing if you're good, knowing that Poeltl can play 30 plus minutes.
Yep. I love him. One of my highest ranked guys in contenders today. I had him coming out of my sim 20% of the time. If we have him at 14% on FanDuel, I actually have like 30 to 40% of Jakob Poeltl if like lock were about to happen in 12 minutes. Probably my favorite place to go on this slate right now. Love Jakob Poeltl too. Jake Puddle in the house. What do we do with this Derek White ownership?
I think it's fine. Like, he's cheap. Yeah. It's a good matchup. He just hasn't been very good this season from a fantasy standpoint. He hasn't been bad. He's just sort of there. You know, he's 0.85 to 0.9 fantasy points per minute. He did play 39 and a half minutes last game. That's, you know, obviously good to see. You know, McDermott was out, but he's typically been in that like 30 to 32 minute range. I think he looks fine. I just don't feel strongly one way or the other on him. DeJounte Murray, I obviously would like to get to 9,600. I think is a reasonable price tag on him. He's likely to play 35, 36 minutes. He's around 1.3 DraftKings points per minute. You're getting like James Harden level production this season for $9,600 in Murray.
It's kind of crazy to think about. Yeah, 1.35 FanDuel points per minute over the last 30 days for Murray. I like it. I haven't asked in a while. 550 viewers, only 109 likes. We're leading into Thanksgiving. You guys don't get us tomorrow. There are no basketball games tomorrow. Can we get some likes for today? We'll borrow them from what would have been tomorrow's show. So hit that thumbs up if you haven't done it yet. Two games to go yet, Adam. The Philadelphia 76ers, a team that we basically cannot talk about right now. 10.5-point underdogs in Golden State, 213 total. We have a Q tag on Seth Curry, Danny Green, and Tobias Harris. No Joel Embiid. I put everybody in to start. At which point, Tobias Harris for 7,600 is on FanDuel is my favorite option. I don't get the sense I'm going to have a ton in this game. If they're all in, 7% owned Tobias Harris on FanDuel is the highest owned guy. Only Harris and Seth Curry on DraftKings at 0.5% are not just unowned. Can you roster anything from Philly if everybody's back?
If everybody's in, Harris at 8K looks fine. That's about it. I mean, like on some other slates, Danny Green at 3,500 or Seth at 5K would look okay, but here it's pretty tough to get to. Harris coming back, especially in this matchup, would most likely cut into Drummond's playing time. Yeah, it's pretty much Harris if everybody's in.
I do want to pitch $7,800 Andre Drummond on FanDuel, no ownership. We saw Ed Davis absolutely own the boards against Golden State. When they're playing a lot of Draymond at the five, they're just not naturally going to be a giant rebounding team. And no matter what we think of Andre Drummond, rebounds are not going to be an issue for him. He's going to soak those up. He could have like a 10 and 20 game today. That wouldn't be all that wild to me. Like him if he's fully unowned as a GPP play.
Yeah, I think that's fine. I started to say the same thing. The only reason I didn't say it is that in the games that Harris has played, he's averaged 25 minutes per game. We've seen Philadelphia just be very, very willing to not have Drummond on the floor. And then when you consider who they're playing, I think it's very, very likely that they just don't have Drummond on the floor. But that doesn't mean, just because I think that's what's going to happen, doesn't mean it's going to happen. And you have to keep that in mind. You know, if for whatever reason, they're just like, yeah, okay, cool, Drummond, go play 28 minutes, he probably smashes.
Absolutely. And again, 0.3% owned on FanDuel, 0.1% owned on DraftKings. It's a guy that I'd be happy to have like 10% of, because there is a ceiling there where he can be a real problem.
Yeah, and so like if you get a situation where Harris, Curry, Green are all out, Drummond looks better too, because even though it's a matchup where they could go small, they're kind of running out of bodies to do so.
Exactly. On the Golden State side, the highest owned player in this game on either FanDuel or DraftKings is Andrew Wiggins at 7%. That's pretty much what I agree with. I don't really know how you pay 11-4 for Curry on a day like today. I've got 12 guys in the rotation. If you want to make it 11, that's fine. I know that they don't normally run an 11-man rotation, but you never know. Are we doing anything here with the Warriors?
Yeah, I mean, 11-4 for Curry, like, sure, it's fine. He's overpriced for his medium production. He also has 85 fantasy points in his range of outcomes, so he's never like truly overpriced if he's low owned. I think I'd rather roster Curry than actually I know I'd rather roster Curry than Davis, LeBron, Westbrook, Harden, Durant. So
I don't agree with Davis, but that's
why.
What do you mean why?
I mean, why would you rather roster the guy that gets fewer fantasy points?
I mean, Anthony Davis in the past 30 days is 1.41, as is Steph Curry.
Curry's that low? Are you talking FanDuel?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I'll say Curry's 1.51 on DraftKings for the season.
Okay, yeah. 1.41 for the past 30 days. Exact same mark as AD. And it's not like I think that those things are, like, wildly different either.
Right. Yeah, I mean, DraftKings for the season, Curry's at 1.51. Davis is at, and this is including games LeBron's been out, Davis is at 1.35.
Yeah, okay, that works. That works.
So, yeah, and you know they play similar minutes. Like, I would just, if I'm quote unquote overpaying for ceiling, I would rather get to Curry than those guys. It's just, and it's also, you know, Davis still has to, and this is obviously reflected in the average production, but just kind of even trying to think in terms of how often they're going to hit their ceilings. Davis is competing with LeBron and Westbrook for touches. Harden and Durant are competing with each other. Steph Curry is competing with nobody every single time he's on the floor. So it's just a little bit easier for him to get there. Draymond at 6,700 looks fine. I think it's very likely this game is played small. I mean, obviously from the Golden State side, but also from the Philly side, and that you kind of just get Draymond against a small guy where he can get a bunch of rebounds. Wiggins is pretty expensive. So I think it's basically Steph and Draymond for me on DraftKings.
That works. Let's close it out. The Portland Trailblazers, 2.5-point favorites in Sacramento, 224 total. Portland is just the normal old rotation. Sacramento sort of went the way we expected. I thought that Mo Harkless was going to move into the starting lineup. He did. I didn't necessarily think they were going to completely excise Chimezie Metu from the rotation, but they did. That five-game trial balloon as a starter came and went, and then it sank like it was made out of lead. Marvin Bagley stuck around in the rotation. We'll touch on Sacramento in a second, but for Portland, 23% owned CJ McCollum on FanDuel at 7,500. He's 7,600 on DraftKings and 17% owned. That's the most in this game. By the way, Portland on a back-to-back. Lillard gets into double digits on FanDuel at 8,800. I'm more likely to go to Lillard at 8,800 than I am CJ at 7,500 if the ownership looks like it is. I think they're pretty similar plays relative to salary just from a general standpoint. And after that, I don't know, maybe a little Norm Powell and nothing else. Portland's weird.
Yeah, they are. Like, I always still want to get to Nurkic, but it's just so difficult because he never plays enough minutes to, you know, really be good. Last
night, I ended up with some of him last night after the Jokic swaps, and then he played 24 minutes again, and I was like, fucking great.
Yeah, I had a lot on the night slate, and it was just like, well, this is cool because it's a two-game slate, and if Nurkic actually plays 28 minutes, then cool, but he's not going to, and it's going to suck, and it did. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it's every time you see the price tag at 6,200, I'm tempted, but I just think there's enough centers today that I like that I probably don't really get there. McCollum's the one that stands out the most to me on DraftKings at 7,600. He's over a fantasy point per minute guy this year. He's likely to play 36 to 38 minutes if this game's competitive. So he looks pretty good. Dame is fine. He gives you a high ceiling. You know, obviously he was disappointing last night. He's been disappointing for a lot of the season. He's someone that I think people just kind of play a little bit too often. Like I was talking to you before the show. I don't really understand why his ownership was where it was last night, but yeah. You know, here he's only projected for about 6% ownership. All that being said, I'd still rather roster DeJounte Murray, assuming that ownership is going to be somewhat close between the two. Right now,
it's like
6 to 7% on both. Give me DeJounte Murray. He's just been the better fantasy producer.
It's like 0.2 of a fantasy point per minute better than him this year.
Right. Like he's going to probably play a couple minutes less, but I'd just rather go to Murray there. I think that, you know, there's also other spots at guard that you can pay up for to be contrarian, not necessarily like the same price, but like LaMelo Ball, he's $1,000 more, but he can go for 60. Curry can go for 80. You know, there's plenty of spots where if I'm going to overpay for a medium projection, there's guys I think I'd get to before I get to Dame. So Dame's fine, but certainly not a priority. Larry Nance's salary's come up a little bit. He's okay. Covington's okay at 4,300, but I think McCollum's the one that stands out the most to me for sure on DraftKings.
All righty. Yeah, I don't mind McCollum. The 23% on FanDuel, again, just for this slate, I'm just going to be able to find other guys that are not that owned. If he is part of an already unowned lineup, yeah, like CJ, I think CJ looks pretty good. But it's not going to be difficult at all to find a contrarian pivot today.
Right, yeah, for sure. This is a really good – this slate's a really good example. I don't know – we haven't had – I don't know if we've even had a 13-game slate this year. If we have, it hasn't been many. But – I'm really interested to see how ownership shakes out because in theory, ownership, like it still matters, but like it shouldn't matter as much on a slate of this size because there's so many options. But with the way that we've seen ownership concentrate this year, even when it shouldn't from like a range of outcomes standpoint, I still think it's pretty likely that you end up seeing just like several guys be massively popular tonight for no real reason other than their median projection is slightly better than the alternatives.
I'm with you on that one. And at that point, the chances are you probably just should not have very much of those particular guys.
Yeah, it goes back. I'd said it to you, I think, at like maybe like a week into the season when I saw what was happening. It was like, this is going to be a really interesting tournament season because I think there's going to be massive swings because the field is going so heavy on the quote-unquote best plays. Like when they hit, you're if the best plays just hit like 5 days in a row, you're just going to lose a shit ton of money if you're playing any sort of a contrarian strategy. But then like it's just going to be not easy to win large field tournaments, but like easier because instead of in the past it would be like, oh well, you know, the 20% of the field played this chalk guy that failed. This year it's been like, oh, 45% played him. So it's really swingy, but I'm kind of expecting the same thing tonight where you look at some guys and it's just like, wow, like yeah, they were a good play but not that good.
Close us out with Sacramento here. Harrison Barnes is 23% owned on DraftKings. His price is down to 6,200. I think he looks great. Fox is still getting love on FanDuel. Halliburton, Heald, Holmes, all about 10% owned. And I think all of that looks pretty normal. I don't have much else outside of those 4.5 guys, if you include Buddy Heald.
Yeah, that's where I'm at too. You got another 36 minutes last game from Barnes. No real reason to think that changes under the new coach. Neither, you know, same goes for Halliburton. Holmes played 27.5 minutes. So he was in that same range that he had normally been playing. It's the same guys that you know, we normally get to Heald, Mitchell, Heald, Halliburton, Holmes, Barnes, Fox, I think all look reasonable. I think that $6,200 Barnes is the one that stands out the most on DraftKings. Holmes at 6,100, as long as he's low owned, is going to look pretty good. And then 7,600 on Fox, you know, he hasn't been as good this year as last year in a variety of ways, but he's still playing big minutes. He still has a 28% usage rate. He's still capable in any given game of going out there and putting up a big score.
Deep dive coming later today. Deeper dive back at 4:45.
Yep.
There it is, everybody. Thank you for joining us. Prize Picks is the sponsor. Make sure you're checking them out using the promo code AWESOMO. good luck tonight. Enjoy yourself. Make sure you're watching all of our content. Have a great holiday. We're not going to be here for the NBA strategy show tomorrow. We will be back again Friday for that. So enjoy yourself. Don't eat too much turkey. We're going to need you guys here 10 a.m. Eastern time on Friday. Adios. And good luck.